Good morning, everybody. Fabulous to be here and to worship with everyone, visitors and everyone else who is here, who normally gathers here. Don't know about you, but I have absolutely loved our journey through Colossians. Today is the second last one, but I have found it to be so uplifting, so encouraging, so motivating. And through it all, I have felt anyway that we just simply fall to our knees before this God who we worship. He's an amazing, amazing God. Words completely fail to describe him, just aren't enough. But how amazing that he indwells us, as Andrew reminded us about last Sunday, when we commit our lives to him as Saviour and Lord. But if you'll forgive me, Andrew, I'm going to add a little bit more. He talked about the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is not just that he indwells us, but that he came at all. He came at all. Now that's mind-boggling. As I said, today is the second last one in Colossians. Next Sunday, Andrew will give us details at the end. We have an opening, grand opening, for the facility that we've been all waiting for, and we'll get details of that later on. The Sunday after that, 2 weeks' time, Nevin finishes. You do, don't you? It is you. Nevin finishes our series in Colossians, and then we've got another, what I think is a totally exciting series. It's about 11 or 12 Sundays, I just can't remember. And it's just called But God. And it's a series where we look at verses that have those two words, But God. And there are Old Testament ones, there are New Testament ones. We're looking at situations where people are struggling because they're old, they're struggling with prejudice, they're struggling with being outcast, they're struggling with all sorts of things, but God. And God shows how his love is for everyone. But of course, we would be remiss if we didn't present a complete presentation of God. And there are at least two in there where it talks about things that are good beforehand. And then God shows his justice, his holiness, his wrath, his judgment. And we do want to present a complete view of God. And so that's the series that's coming up. And I think it is just going to be fantastic. Everybody has but God moments in their lives. Adrian, 2 months ago, he had a but God moment. And here he is today. It's awesome. Everyone has but God moments. But today, we're just looking at two verses. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Turn to them in your physical or electronic Bible, but the words will come up on the screen behind me anyway. In the verses just before these ones, Paul provides us with a clear, concise strategy for developing our prayer life and being about prayer. They all start with P. And Paul tells us to be persistent in prayer, perceptive in prayer, and praiseful in prayer. And then when you get to the last two verses, or two verses immediately before the ones we're looking at, Paul asks them to pray specifically for him, saying, this is Colossians 4, verse 3 and 4, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, and so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And so Paul's mind is obviously on sharing the gospel, sharing Christ with the world. And after asking them to pray for him to have opportunities to witness, he then turns it round and reminds them in the verses that we'll read shortly that sharing Christ is everyone's responsibility. It isn't up to the Pauls of this world. It's not up to the elders or pastors. It's up to the yous and me's. Just as he did for prayer, Paul outlines a three-point plan for sharing our faith and spreading the gospel of Jesus. And as you'll see in the title, just how to walk and witness in the world, three words beginning with W, I'm going to present to you the three-part plan for how to do that. And they all start with W. The first one is wise, the second one is watchful, and the third one, you'll just have to wait for. Amazingly, God calls us, ordinary Christians, to be contagious with our faith, spreading it to as many others as possible. God wants us, God, beg your pardon, God wants to use every one of us to lead others into a relationship with him that will last throughout their lives and into eternity. Now, some people hear the word evangelism and think, ooh, yep, not sure if that's my gift. Well, sorry, evangelism is for everybody. We are all to go out into the world and preach and teach. And so I hope that you'll be relieved to know that you don't have to become some super Christian in order to share your faith in Jesus effectively. Instead, we just need to be ourselves. Just be you. God knew what he was doing when he made you. And if we put his plan into practice, then God can use us to spiritually impact our friends, our relatives, our co-workers and neighbours for his glory. So let's look at these two verses, Colossians 4, 5 and 6. Verse 5, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Verse 6, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Two Christians were out sharing their faith and they knocked on the door of a woman who was not happy to see them. She told them she didn't want to hear their message and she slammed the door in their faces. But to her surprise, the door bounced back open. So she tried it again and she really put her back into it. But the door still wouldn't shut. Convinced that these rude people were putting their foot in the door, she reared back to give it a slam that would teach them a lesson when one of them said, excuse me, ma'am, before you do that again, you might want to move your cat. Obviously a story. I'll tell you very briefly a true story. Before we had our children, a long time ago, we were fellowshipping in Dannevirke. And we had some Bible college students come down and visit with us for a week. And it was for them to encourage us and for us to use them and help with their testimony in the community. We decided we'd go out door knocking. And so I went out with this young man called Mark. And we knocked on a bunch of doors. And the patter was, we introduced ourselves. Well, we got to this particular door, knocked on it, and a lady answered it. And so I said, oh, good morning. I said, my name's Stephen. This is my friend Mark. And we're from the Bible Chapel here in Dannevirke, and we would love to talk with you about the Bible. And she said, no thanks, we're not interested in that, we're Methodists. I don't have anything against Methodists. I think Methodists are wonderful people, and I do believe that they believe the Bible and love to talk about it. But that was her response, so there you go. Paul gave us this three-pronged attack plan for us to walk and witness in the world. And so the first one is about being wise. The first part of verse 5 says, live wisely among those who are not believers. Now often living wisely simply means that we need to remember that those who don't yet know Christ are watching us. So when I spent 20 years in the freezing works, and I knew there were about five of us in a group of 34 or 35 meat inspectors, and we knew that we were being watched all the time. And if we ever did something wrong or got out of line, we didn't maybe clean our gear properly at the end of the day, we would hear comments like, ah, so that's how Christians act. And you knew you were being watched. There are many studies that ask lots of questions about how Christians are viewed. Many of them have high percentage of people who think Christians are simply hypocrites. We talk well, but we don't walk that well. If you're a Christian, you ought to know that your neighbours and co-workers have their hypocrisy radar scanning your lives 24/7. You see, we need to live wisely among unbelievers because people are making decisions about the validity of Christianity based upon how we're living. When we pray, God will give us open doors, but let's not shut them by our behavior. Now, being wise does not necessarily make us perfect. We still goof up, things don't quite go right, but we must genuinely seek to follow and honor God in our daily lives. Jesus said in Matthew 5, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. One evangelist put it this way, Christians are to be good news before they share the good news. And that's quite an interesting way to look at it. There's an old story. I'm going to tell you a few stories this morning, I'm sorry. I like telling stories. There's an old story from the life of Francis of Assisi. "Brother," Francis said one day to one of the new monks, "let's go down to the town to preach." The young novice delighted at the invitation, and together they passed through the main streets. They turned down many of the byways and alleys, and eventually they made their way out to the suburbs. Along the way, Francis extended warm greetings to passers-by and purchased some fresh vegetables and fruits from street merchants. And then the pair returned to the monastery. As they approached the gate, the younger monk said, "Father, have you forgotten that we went down to the town to preach?" Francis replied, "Son, my son, we have preached. We preached while we walked. We have been seen by many, and our behaviour has been closely watched. And it was thus that we preached our morning sermon. It is no use, my son, to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere we walk." Now there's a man who understood what Paul meant to walk wisely among unbelievers. When our walk with God is real and evident, it naturally overflows into the lives of others. So step one in sharing our faith is to be wise. Secondly, we are to be watchful. And the second part of verse 5 reads, or Paul says, "Make the most of every opportunity." Make the most of every opportunity. And this is an interesting phrase because it actually is a commercial term and it means to buy up, to buy everything that's there. The phrase was often used to describe someone finding a really good bargain on sale and buying all they can afford because the price is so good. And in so doing, they made the most of their opportunity. But of course, Paul doesn't have shopping in mind. He wants us to make the most of our opportunities with unbelievers. In other words, we need to be watchful and ready to share Jesus every chance we get. Now, this isn't as awkward or difficult as you might think. It's simply a matter of sparking spiritual conversations. We can do this by turning the conversation by using the topic at hand and connecting it to a related spiritual topic. This is exactly what Jesus did with the woman at the well. Remember how Jesus asked the woman for water, and then he told her that if she knew who he was, she would be asking him for living water. And he moved the conversation from something ordinary to something spiritual. We can do the same thing. It starts with everyday subjects like hobbies or music or sport or kids' activities or even just ordinary struggles, and then introduces a spiritual element to the discussion. For example, if your friend or co-worker is going through a difficult time, such as an illness or a financial challenge, you can mention how something you learned from the Bible or at church helped you through a similar experience. I'll tell you a true story, and I think I've mentioned this probably more than once before, but I'll tell it again. When I was still a meat inspector and I was over at O-Ringy, Freezing Works, there was a guy there called Keith Brimmer, and he, not sure if resented is quite the right word, but he liked to pick on me because I was a Christian. He had a family, a female partner, and she was probably even worse than him. But that's how that goes with the territory. Fine with that. Keith got heart disease and needed a triple bypass. And so a couple of days before he went down to Wellington for surgery, I said to him, "Keith, look, sometimes when people face these sorts of challenges, they do turn to the spiritual for some help. And if you want to, I would love to share my faith. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. I'd love to just help you walk through." He goes, "Oh, thank you very much. That's very good." He went down to Wellington. He was in a room by himself while the medical staff were getting ready, and he arrested. And he was clinically dead for 3 minutes. He doesn't remember any of this. In fact, they didn't tell him for 2 weeks because they thought that it would shock him and maybe actually kill him. But he died for 3 minutes. But they zoomed in, resuscitated him, carried on with the procedure, and he survived. And he came back, and I was talking to him about it. I said, "So how did you feel about that?" "Oh, well, pretty good, pretty lucky really to get through, wasn't I?" I said, "Well, yeah, my offer of talking about spiritual things still stands." He said, "Oh yeah, cool, yeah, thanks, maybe one day." He's back, he's in Australia now, as far as I know. I don't know whether he became a believer or not, but at that point, he wasn't. You see, not every conversation has to be deep and profound. What you're doing, what we are doing, is planting seeds and laying the groundwork for deeper spiritual conversations. Another great tool for sparking spiritual conversations is just inviting people to church events, a Christmas carol service, a church picnic, or even just a regular church service. But don't get discouraged if you get turned down. According to a study by Lifeway Research, 1 in 4 of your unchurched friends will come to church if you invite them. That's good news, but the better news is that 4 out of 4 invitations can turn into spiritual conversations. And even if they turn you down, you then follow up by asking them about their spiritual or church background, and you're into that spiritual conversation. Look for every opportunity. So step one is to be wise, step two is to be watchful, and now the third one is to be winsome. There you go. Bet you weren't expecting that word. Verse 6, when you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant, so you'll be able to answer everyone in the way you should. Instead of kind and pleasant, the New Living Translation says gracious and attractive. The older translations talk about let your speech always be seasoned with salt. Now, salt enhances food flavour and makes food appetising. Salty speech in Paul's day referred to witty and winsome discussions. It was the opposite of being boring, belligerent, and abrasive. And the point is that if you want to share your faith with Jesus, or if you want to invite someone to your church, you need to do it in a positive and pleasant way. No matter how much sense the message of Christ makes, we lose our effectiveness if we're not courteous and kind, if we use coarse language, if we're argumentative, if we're just aggro people. Why would people want to come to our church? We wouldn't be any different from them. And so just to help you with that word, in case you aren't quite sure, the definition, a couple of definitions here that are fairly similar. A winsome person is a person who is attractive or appealing in a fresh, innocent way. A person who is attractive or appealing in their character. Someone who draws others by his or her own life. Sometimes we can get a little quick to criticise and condemn people living in sin. Or we rant about a moral issue in our culture, forgetting that there may be someone listening who is caught in that particular sin. When we are filled with self-righteousness and criticism, people feel judgment, not hope. We need to be more like Jesus, who was the perfect embodiment of both truth and grace. Even when he dealt with sin, he still spoke words of grace. The Bible says that after listening to Jesus teach, this is Luke 4:22, everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. Nobody walked away from Jesus thinking, man, he's a jerk. We don't want people walking away from us thinking the same thing. So remember to smile, be pleasant, be polite, be winsome. But there is a second reason I wanted that word. And I'm going to read, and the words will come up on the screen in a minute, or that screen. 1 Corinthians 9:19 to 22. Paul speaking, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. You see, sadly, very sadly, we will not see everyone saved. Even Paul knew that despite his absolute best efforts, only some would come to a knowledge of salvation. Paul said he could only save some, or, if you'll excuse the pun, to win some. We must do all we can to tell people the gospel message, to live a life that testifies to our faith in a living Saviour. Ultimately, though, everyone must make his or her own individual decision. In 1 Corinthians 3, again Paul speaking, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. You see, our job is not to convert people. That's God's job. Our job is to testify to God's love and then let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. We are to be a link in the chain that brings people to a knowledge of salvation. Don't be discouraged. Just be faithful. Just do it. Talk. If we even look at the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel, we read, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you to." You see, we are to proclaim the gospel message. We're to let God reach into people's hearts, and then when they freely repent of their sin, we are to help them grow. We help them grow once Christ has done his work in their hearts. Let them grow into strong, mighty, mature disciples for our Lord. We are to be winsome in order to win some. And so, the conclusion, just for this little bit, then I'll get on to some personal stories. One day, a lady criticized D.L. Moody for his methods of evangelism and attempting to win people to the Lord. And so Moody said, "Yeah, I agree with you. I don't like the way I do it either. But tell me, how do you do it?" Well, the lady answered, "Well, I don't do it really." Moody retorted, "Well then, I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." You see, no matter how you go about sharing your faith, you will be much more effective if you follow the Bible's plan. To be wise, make sure your character matches your creed. To be watchful, take advantage of opportunities to start spiritual conversations. And to be winsome, be pleasant and polite. Share your faith with a smile. See, prayer is simply talking to God about people. Evangelism is simply talking to people about God. But in either case, it's time to start talking. I do want to share a little bit about my personal journey in the last few weeks. As you know, it's only been a month, 4.5 weeks, I think, since I was diagnosed with the stage 4 pancreatic cancer. While the news absolutely stunned us and the family, very early on, we determined that no matter how this journey works out, Christine and I are aiming for two goals. We're going to share our faith with as many people as we can. And then secondly, we want to ensure that through this journey, short, medium, long, whatever happens, we will do all we can to bring glory to God. He must be exalted and honoured in all we do. Now, I'm not a super Christian. I stand here, wave my arms around sometimes, and preach from time to time. I'm not a super Christian. I'm not especially brave or strong. I'm certainly not more holy than anyone else. Don't ever think that. I simply set my mind to try and achieve those goals. Now, Christine, best person in my life ever, knows that I'm a task person. Yep, big nodding there. So for me, in this journey, I needed some tasks, some goals. I need to have stuff that I can try and achieve. And I'd like to share some of the stories that we've experienced during this time to try and meet those. So the first one, I would ask you to pray for these. There's just going to be four up here, although the first ones are multiple. My work colleagues. So they all know that Malcolm and I are Christians. We have many robust, that be fair, Malcolm, robust discussions, yeah, about Christian teachings versus what all the others believe. And so after we discovered that I had this cancer, the following Monday, we're still going through this wild week and a bit of tests, every week I lead a team meeting, 10 o'clock Monday morning, and you go through all the business, and at the end it's always general. And so I got to the generals. Anybody got anything else they want to say? No? Great. My turn. So I said, "Look, going through this," and they knew a little bit of what was happening, and I said, I believe and have this wonderful faith in a fantastic God, my Saviour, and I know where I'm going when I die, whenever that is, and I know that he's given me strength and peace. This is sort of my standard thing. Give me strength and peace through this whole journey. And if anybody here wants to talk about that and let me share with you, I would be delighted to do that. And you know what happened? Someone hit a pause button and the room just froze. They're looking down at the table, for about 3 or 4 seconds. Nothing. I thought, all right, I wonder where this is going to go. Until one of the other guys, who's a sort of he cracks a few wisecracks, he said, oh, well, now back to the stuff quiz. And so sort of settled things down. But you present it. They know about it. If they don't want to come to me and talk, then that's fine. But I'm just a link in the chain. And if there's something about my life which they see, even if they don't want to talk about it, that's part of what I'm trying to achieve up there. My work also involves communicating with many vendors around New Zealand, Fonterra staff, customers around the world. While I have only shared my news, and of course my faith, because I always slip that in, that's what I said I was going to do, with a small number of people so far, the responses have been interesting. Some avoid the Christian aspect altogether. Some acknowledge it, but don't lay claim to it themselves. And others, if you like, come out of the woodwork, and they say they'll pray for me. One person I interact with a lot told me he was a Buddhist, and he shared lovely comments with me. But whatever the response, I believe it is my responsibility to tell, and then let God do the rest. It's up to him. I am just a link. We've also shared with just about all the medical staff that we've come in touch with. I'm going to tell you about two ladies. This was a name that came up on the screen a few weeks ago because it was early on and things. So when I had my liver biopsy, if you have a liver biopsy, they stick this scoopy thing in and take a bit of your tumour out, or one of the tumours, the nice one that's nice near the edge. And because the liver is prone to hemorrhaging, I had to stay in the room and just lie on my back for up to 3 hours after it had finished. And this nurse, Cindy, was assigned to look after me and make sure everything was all right and take my blood pressure and so on and so on. I'm not going to tell you all the stories because it's pretty funny about not having the cuff on my arm and pushing the button to get my blood pressure and then trying to figure out why it wasn't working. She did that twice. I said, Cindy, that's two strikes. She also messed up the call button and people came running in 3 times. But anyway, she was there, and she initially didn't realise that my situation, from a human point of view, is a terminal situation. And she started off by saying, right, so you'll get all these results and take them to the surgeon and see what can be done. And we said, no, not at all. And she goes, ooh, and suddenly felt a bit awkward. But that's right, because later on in the conversation, we could see her looking at us, because we were not utterly down and depressed and crying our eyes out. I've had plenty of times crying my eyes out, so don't worry. I'm not that good. But she was there, and she asked why we were so peaceful and calm about it. Well, that's all the invitation you need, isn't it? Hey, out with the story again. God, faithful, loving, all that sort of stuff. And she says, but if God loves you and you're a Christian, how can this bad stuff happen to you? Hey, there's another invitation. Launch into that. Talk about that. Now, one of my responses was, if you became a Christian and suddenly all your problems go away, everyone become a Christian so they don't have to have any problems. I know I'd be in. But she goes, Then she started talking about her marriage and how she had her father's passed away. Mum still goes to Church of Christ here in town. The rest of the family are Christians, but she had a very bad marriage, a very bitter breakup, and she's walked away from it. And so we just talked with her about that and just about some of her life. And for the next couple of hours, she's just there, and we're just talking about stuff, trying to take my blood pressure, sometimes succeeding. And we just shared with her, and you could see her. It's like, you know when people are watching you, like head tilted, close your eyes a bit, that sort of look. And at the end, or towards the end, she said, you know, maybe I will need to go back to church. And then when I was released, She walked with us out to the main foyer of the hospital, and we thought, well, that's it, she'll say goodbye. No. We start walking towards the sliding doors. She walks towards the sliding doors. Okay, well, stop there. No. Sliding doors open. We walk out towards the car park. She comes out towards the car park. And she then gave us a hug and said, thank you so much. Hope things go well for you. Words to that effect, I think. Pray for Cindy. Sarah, at the blood test. I'm not a fan of needles, getting pretty familiar with them at the moment, but this was just last Tuesday, less than a week ago. So I went in to get a blood, have weekly blood tests now, and Sarah, who is just a little bit younger than I, and she tried a couple of times in this arm and it wasn't going so good, and then she said, oh, maybe have a look in that, and I've still got a big bruise there from the chemo. Anyway, she decided she'd get somebody else to help. And while we're just waiting, we talked a bit about and what the chemo is for in my situation, and that's all the invitation I need, so shared the gospel again. And she opened up and she said, you know, I've got a sister that I'm caring for who's going through some of these struggles, and we've never been into church or Christianity or anything, but, you know, maybe we need to get into that. Maybe that's something I'll look into. Maybe that's something I'll try. So, Sarah, at the blood test place. And then, one more story, then you have the wonderful little encouragements that happen. Daryl. Now, I've been very polite here and called it the tire place. It begins with the letter Bo, and that's all you're going to get. But I've known Daryl for a number of years because I get a work discount for getting tires there. And so I went in, because I had to go and get some tires for Cameron's car. And so I drove in there and walked in. Hey, g'day, Daryl. He says, yeah, g'day, Stephen. We know each other that well. He says, you're well. I said, yes, thanks. I thought, that's a lie. So I said, I don't publicise my situation, but I just felt that I should just share with him. And so I said, actually, Daryl, no, I'm not. This is my situation, just told him briefly. And that's all you need, and so you share the gospel message again. And after I shared about our Christian faith, he says, you know what, I'll pray for you. I said, wow, really? He says, yeah, can't. Prayer is the ultimate thing. We've got to pray. You've got to take all these things before the Lord. I thought, wow, there you go. See, it isn't about sometimes just you think everyone out there is a sinner needs saving. There actually are some Christians out there. And you bump into them. And they encourage you. And they tell you that they're going to pray for you. I mean, that is so cool. So do pray for those, well, one group and three other people. I really pray that God will grant me many more opportunities to testify to his goodness. So my time is gone, but I'm just going to finish on one last little thing. And that is, initially this might not seem like it really relates to this topic, but I do want to do it anyway. It's a final benediction. And again, fairly early on in this journey, I started leaning heavily on two particular verses. And everyone has their own favourites, and it's fine, that's good. But I just leaned heavily on these two verses. In fact, I'll put them up, because you may as well have them. And it occurred to me that since I'm facing, from a human point of view, a much, much shortened life, that the beginning of that verse 24, is going to be my reality, sooner rather than later. But for everybody who claims the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, that is your reality. It is your reality. Just think about it. Under whom he's able to keep you from falling. See, we might trip up and stumble, but we're in his hands. He's never going to let us slip through. It's a guarantee. And at some stage for all of us, hey, I'd be good with the rapture. Let's all go together. You know? Anyone agree? Yeah, all right. He will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It does not, I promise you, it does not get better than that, because that's God's plan. And so to everybody who claims the name of Jesus, that is your future. And so then if you just cast your mind back to the two things that Christine and I wanted to do, to share faith and to bring glory to God, verse 25, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And I have claimed those verses, and they are what keep me going day by day, mostly, in between some of the tears that we have. So, to finish, all I'm going to do is read that as a benediction prayer for you guys, for all Christians, for all believers, and wherever you are, what struggles you're going through, whatever is in your life at the moment, share your faith. Use those opportunities to share your faith. Walk and witness in the world. Be wise, be watchful, be winsome. Let's bow our heads. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you.